Oh, I could listen to him all day. The great Ben Webster on tenor sax with Blue Light. This was recorded in Copenhagen in 1965. By then, Ben Webster had moved there because he couldn't deal with the tumult, the racial tumult in the United States. He's always credited Johnny Hodges with teaching him how to play his instrument. He moved to Copenhagen in 1965 permanently, but died after a cerebral hemorrhage on September the 20th, 1973, in Amsterdam at the age of 64. His ashes are buried there. I guess Ben Webster decided he did not need any more of the craziness that was going on in the United States. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrice Lead. And today we're going to put our thinking caps on. That's not unusual. You know that's what we do. Today is the day before the Democrats are determined to wow us with a whole bunch of folks running for president of the United States. There's so many, 24 people vying for the spot, so that they have to hold this debate on two nights, tomorrow night and then Wednesday, Thursday night. And each of the rounds will feature 20 candidates, which makes it 40 for the two nights, except we do have quite a few candidates running, so we don't know how they're handling the logistics of that. Each night featuring about 20 candidates. Well, they're looking to thin the herd, obviously, with these presidential debates in Miami. Former Vice President Joe Biden at 76 is holding the lead so far among Democrats. He's polling well. Not that I believe in polls or anything, but that's what they say. He's polling way ahead of the other candidates. So essentially, it will be a contest between Joe Biden and the rest of the Democrats. So, with this comfortable lead, he has the other senior citizen to keep him company, Democratic Socialist Bernie Sanders, who appears to be gaining ground and is now said to be in second place among Democratic hopefuls, according to the polls. Okay, that's what the polls say. Now, you know, we can't just accept that this is the Democratic Party's debate among prospective candidates for the presidential slot. We have to break it down. And that's what you're going to do today. Taking it all in, considering all the angles that are out there about these Democratic candidates, and why they're running and who's backing them and what are their chances and so forth. We should really concentrate on what's behind all of this, because it will tell us what we are to think about all of this. And that's where I want your brain to engage with the rest of us today and talk about what you think is happening here. Why are there so many candidates? Is it that the Democrats have so much to offer and they want people to know? Is it that they want this to be a very hot contest because the target in the end is one Donald J. Trump? Is it that they're having some thoughts about reviving this Democratic Party? And if so, with what? What are they thinking? What are some of the strong arguments out there? I'd like to know, as we anticipate, you know, the big debate tomorrow night and the night after that, what is really happening here? What does it tell us about the state of affairs in the country and about a party trying to hold on to whatever power it has left against a formidable candidate who has vowed a return? He has predicted he will win in 2020 and that he's guaranteed, all but guaranteed, a second turn at the wheel of the White House. Something, no doubt, is happening here. And I'd like you to tell us, from your perspective, what you think it is. It isn't just one thing, it's a lot of things. But how is it resonating? How are these things resonating with you? We have two numbers you can call. Of course, the regular 888-874-4888. And our new number, 646-922-8391. Again, 646-922-8391. Or you can just, if we can guide the traffic to 888-874-4888, that would be perfect because it's free and open and we can get to hear you more quickly. This isn't a regular election. We don't have to argue that point. Why is it not a regular election? We could talk about that. But what do you think about the reaction? I have some thoughts, but my thoughts don't matter right now. Your thoughts do. What are you making of this banding together of Democratic candidates hoping to sway votes to the Democratic Party? I note that the leader of the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi, I mean, it's a lackluster thing, don't you think? It's not that people are so excited about it. There doesn't seem to be so much excitement in the air about the Democratic Party, and for that matter, even about Trump. Trump and his base, well, yes, I understand that. But we're not seeing a general, an upheaval in the way people are looking at politics this time around and the political candidates. But, you know, we could be very wrong on that. We may be misreading everything entirely. What have you paid attention to? What have you picked up so far in the course of these candidates coming forward, presenting themselves, saying that they have the credentials to run, they have credible campaigns, which assumes, of course, that they are well-funded. But do we know what it is they're for? Each day, they seem to be for something, but it's a flash in the pan. The Democratic Party, we don't hear from the party as a party as to what its platform is. We don't know what's going on. So maybe you could help us with some perspective here. We start in South Carolina with Khalil. Hello, Khalil. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you today?
Okay, thanks. And you?
Oh, I'm well, thank you. Warm summer here, you know? I'm sorry?
How is this? I just chuckled a little. How does this campaign begin to, you know, does it impress you?
Not at all. It looks like a joke on the Democratic side. Totally. Absolutely. I'm a little befuddled why, number one, Tom Perez is very weak, in my opinion. But to have this many people running.
Identify him. He is the leader.
He's the leader of the Democratic, the DNC, the private club that controls the Democratic Party. That's his function.
Correct.
And I've been watching him, and in my opinion, he's weak. He's reactive. He's not proactive. It's almost like he's a placeholder. It just doesn't have what it takes to me to be a leader. All right, Nancy Pelosi is more of a leader than he is. You know, I'm not trying to get gender biased or anything. I'm just saying. Okay, so that's a starting point. And to have this many people, it's a circus. It is ridiculous. It dilutes the message. I mean, I've never seen
it. You're calling it a circus?
I mean, once again, this is my opinion. I've been following politics since I was a teenager. But, you know, that is just looks like a circus on the face of it.
You know what? I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. It really looks like... The party has no discipline whatsoever. It hasn't corralled its best and presented its best. But on the other hand, let's say the party did something like that. People are apt to say, well, wait a minute. Everybody who is capable of participating should participate. Why should the Democratic Party arbitrarily decide who should participate and who shouldn't? You have an
I
answer
agree
for that?
That people will say that. Yes, I agree. People will say that. That will be the response that we don't agree with. I'm assuming you don't agree with that response.
So I'm asking you, what do you
well,
think?
Well, no, that's a predictable response. Okay, that's a predictable response. But my retort to that would be, of course people have freedom of speech and they can do what they want. But remember, we're working with private clubs. And who is advising these people? Once again, this has the look of a circus. And it's not, this is not an ordinary election. Because this nonsense, to start out like this, oh my goodness. I predict that Trump will win again because, number one, the people that vote for him, their votes count more than other people's votes because of where they live in the Electoral College. He has, he's an incumbent, so that's another mark on his side of the ledger. And we're still going to have meddling from foreign entities. And we have an attorney general who appears to be, I just don't understand this attorney general. I'm trying to be generous. So I'm not going to even comment any longer about him. So in other words, what I'm saying is that we have an administration and a president that has stretched the rules and it's just out of control. And if we have an election, I'm not trying to get too far afield, but I mean, if we have an election, we may not have an election with this business
no, really.
Over.
You don't
know,
think we'll have an election?
It's a possibility. I'm not saying we will. I'm saying that it's more possible that we won't than ever in my lifetime, because I could see the president doing something with Iran. Because we already know the people on the ship that they claim, that we claim had mines or something like that, the witnesses said, no, it was a projectile from the air, you know, like a low-flying missile or something of that nature.
Let's get back to the part of the question today. What is it that is perturbing you about this, the way the Democratic Party is coming across?
They're not serious. These are serious times. Things have never been more serious. And they're not ready, and it's frightening.
You know, I cannot argue with either of your points. In fact, I agree wholeheartedly with them, and this is what is scary. You'd think that considering what we've been through so far with Trump and his administration, we would have an ironclad case and the Democrats making a point that they are the natural alternative in 2020. But it is just so poor. It's just so bad. And they couldn't do a better job of actually increasing, it seems, Trump's political fortunes. Because this is how bad it is.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
Does this just appear to be a setup, to use a street term?
Ah, very interesting question. Very interesting question. And it appears in my notebook right here.
Does it now?
We have to, I mean, we don't know. But pursue that line if you don't mind.
Well, once again, back to square A, these are supposed to be professional politicians. They're supposed to know more than a layperson and how to conduct a campaign. Why in the world would you, anyone allow this many people to start off looking buffoonish? This is buffoonery to have this many people running. And they're going to beat each other up on the debate stage. They'll be bloodied. It will open wounds. In other words, so who's getting this? This is the power elite. Once again, it looks like the power elite. Trump is in there for a reason. This is a setup. This is ridiculous. We should have had maybe 4 to 6 vetted, thoroughly vetted people to start out with, and then pare down the candidates. But this nonsense, and some of these people, they just need to keep their head down maybe and stay in Congress. We need votes, to pass through meaningful legislation. So what is, is everyone on the tape? Back to one of your favorite themes, corruption. What is this? What is going on?
It is amazing. I have it right here in my notes. Mm. Is something else happening here that, it would take some time for us to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But the chief person, who is the chief person you're looking at to ask this question, as you ask this question? Who are you looking at in terms of the possibility that there's a setup here?
Well, number one, I would like to question Tom Perez. Where did he come from?
Oh, that goes back to the old days of dismantling the Democratic Party in order to reform it into a new configuration that somebody can control. And I could only see the current controllers, Nancy Pelosi et al., and some others, stragglers from the outside, having a deep interest in what's going on with the Democratic Party. But Biden's candidacy raise any issue with you?
Not at first. Wow, that's a great question. Electability. He has the electability because this is once again back to this circuit. There is. I live in the Deep South, and I'm telling you, there is no way that a man with a husband is going to win the presidency. I don't care, but there are too many people who do care. So, we have to talk about electability. So, yeah, but Joe Biden, honestly, see, I remember Gary Hart. It's not going to take much for Mr. Biden to say something really stupid or
hug somebody a little too closely.
A little too closely. You know, it's so much. Once again, this is, I love your notes. This, and I love the way you started your program. We're going to put our thinking caps on.
Yeah. This is what is missing. We are given the scenarios that somebody else has formulated. You know, they've decided we will present this to the Democrats or the people leaning toward the Democratic Party and give them this. This is the narrative. But it isn't. It isn't the narrative. I'm just talking to you, and you've hit about four major points that so far have not publicly been considered or discussed.
Really?
Yes. We talk about what is the Democratic Party right now? You call it a circus. It appears to be unorganized. And is that
you're being generous. You're being generous. You're being generous.
Yeah, well, I know. Number two, we're talking about running a campaign at this time against a president that the Democratic Party swore on everything it held holy, that it would organize to get rid of in 2020. This doesn't look like it.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't. Mm-mm. We're talking about, is it possible that there has been some kind of discussion about who should emerge from these so-called debates as a Democratic nominee, just like Hillary Clinton, the orchestration of the outcome? Is it possible that it's already been decided who will be the Democratic Party's nominee?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, I'd like to just a quick follow up from last election, and this really brought out how many folks maybe weren't paying attention or just didn't understand or were uneducated about what you are so adept and wonderful in bringing up about these private clubs that we call political organizations that we have to funnel our energy and our resources through to elect someone. See, in other words, I'm standing a long way to say, it hurts me when I hear people say, well, Hillary Clinton stole it from Bernie. No. They have rules that we don't even know about because it's a private club. So, yeah, what you're saying is absolutely, it's because it smells like dead fish from the beginning.
Well, we shall see. I'll be so satisfied if people begin to think just the way you are, because that's when things start to kind of seep into your mind, and you say, "Well, but this doesn't make sense." You're having two nights of debates in Miami, and nobody is all that excited about it. No, something wrong here. There's something wrong. But Khalil, you got us started in an excellent way, and I thank you so much for doing that job. You carried a lot of water today. Thank you. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks very much. I hope everything is good with you and the rest of the PRN audience.
Thank you so much for your kind thoughts. Let me ask you, what are you thinking on the eve of two nights of supposedly vigorous debate, at the end of which there will be somebody who would be the so-called winner, and then they move on to the next stretch of debates. What are you thinking as this is about to happen?
Okay, you already know my views on things. I always make it clear that I think the whole ship is rigged, and just like the last election where they had Donald Trump become the president, and Hillary made sure that that would happen. So they have to have the new scenario for this election. That was the scenario for the last one. You know, Hillary made sure Donald Trump got elected. And we all believed it because we figured people hated Hillary more than Donald Trump, even though she got more votes. This time, they're copying what... So I'm giving them credit here, even though I know the scenario already, and I already ran it down that Biden's going to get the nomination, Bernie's going to run as an independent, and they're going to cancel each other out, and Trump will win again. This is how to make Trump the president again in 2020 and have the people believe that it could really happen again. So they have to do it this way. They flood the Democratic Party with candidates this time. Why didn't that happen 3 years ago? When there was no incumbent. There was no incumbent, so on the Republican side you had 17 candidates, and on the Democrat you only had Hillary and Bernie. It didn't make no sense. And when things don't make sense, you got to start asking questions. And we were just, and people don't have time to ask questions. They're too busy just trying to make their day go by and get through life. So they just accept things, and it seems like it looks this way is right, so they go for it. So I'm giving them credit.
Let me ask you a basic question.
I'm giving them credit that they're throwing 17, 18, 20 candidates, and they're copying 24, what the Republicans 24. Did last election. You know, this way, the one candidate that comes out of it will look very strong, that he was able to knock off all of these other candidates, like Trump did to the Republicans. And how did he do it? He just made jokes, rank out Sessions, and it's probably going to be the same thing with the Democrats. So they might be a little more respectful to each other, but it's just going to be a stage show, and it's all rigged. But it's going to make sense to people that they're copying what the Republicans did 3 years ago by get a lot of candidates, and then you have a lot of different people to look to, and that'll make the waters very thin. And when Biden comes out of it, nobody will question it. And then when Bernie will go as the independent, it'll all seem this is all designed in the rigged game to make Donald Trump the president again, where the people accept this is what happened. This makes sense to them. To me, it's just ridiculous. Never made any sense from the beginning that Donald Trump could even be running for president. He had no political experience. He had all these other people with political experience that could have run for president. Instead, you got Donald Trump. So there's a reason why they want this man to be president, because he gets people riled up. He gives them a lot of attention. We spend all our time focusing on Donald Trump. The ones that don't like him are worried about what he's going to do next, so they got to keep watching him every day, what he's doing. The ones who like him go to his rallies, and they think everything is great. So they got us all spinning around like a top. What can I say, you, Therese? It's a miserable situation that the world is in, and we all know it.
Did you expect this? You raise a very important point, and I want to ask you to kind of add to it, if you can. This idea of having this many candidates present themselves to the public and to voters in a debate that is to be seen as a legitimate thing. You suspect strongly that this has already been rigged and that it will do more damage than they expect. what do you think ought to be the reaction to the Democratic Party now?
What should be the reaction? I don't know. I think like a guy like Charlie Schumer should really be the main candidate, because he's been the one who has made the most noise in the last 3 years with Pelosi. So he's been a senator of New York for 40-something years. I mean, when's he going to throw his hat in the ring? What should the Democratic Party be saying? I'm not really getting where you're trying to get me to go on that. Could you
I'm just trying to say this is a party process, and in this process, the chief aim and objective is to deliver to the people, to the voters, especially those Democrats, who will see now who the point person is going to be representing the Democratic Party. Do you think that such a person exists now, even with the 24 candidates that they have? Do you think the Democratic Party is sufficiently represented by the 24 candidates vying for nomination? Or, as you said, you think the situation is rigged?
Right. The sign of that is that there is so many candidates, because, you know, people always complain there's not enough parties to vote. There's only Democrat and Republican, and we're saying that they're both the same. They're in cahoots with each other, and they make like they're at odds with each other. So instead of giving us more parties, they give us more candidates in the same party, and it gives an illusion that we have more selections to use our great minds, our great political minds that we know so much about, that we actually believe Donald Trump is the president, and he got there by being such a smart man. These minds that we have, we actually get tricked.
But what you're saying is absolutely true. Instead of giving us more parties, they give us more candidates from the same party, as if that solves a problem.
And all it does is thin things out even more and make it even more ridiculous. But we're not getting it because we don't have our minds clicked on right, you know? We eat too much junk put into the body, and then the mind can't work. It's all filled up with mucus and plaque, and then we just accept what we got because we can't do nothing about it, because we got to go to work to make enough money to pay the rent, take care of our kids. And this is the way they want us to be, in a corner like rats in a maze. And I'm sorry that this world has gotten to be the way it is. I'm pretty much ready to check out of this place, because I can't even take anymore, because I'm enjoying the raccoons in my yard more than I enjoy being with human beings. It's really a sin, and I don't know what else to say, Patrice.
Well, you made some profound points. You made some profound points, but the most profound of them today, I would argue, is that instead of having more parties, they give us more candidates. Great point. Thanks a lot for calling in and contributing. From Florida, Gamba, you're on the air.
Greetings to all.
Thank you.
I'm sorry you got me biting, but anyway, I'm going to make it short and sweet. I used to live in Maryland and listen to WPFW quite a bit. And Ambrose Lane always used to say, think the unthinkable. Those two gentlemen prior to me coming on here have expressed that thought clearly. Think the unthinkable, because the unthinkable is what's happening right now, today, tomorrow. And I hope we can find some way out of this this myopic situation. It really is sad. But I have to laugh at it.
Well, what to you is the most significant thing that has come out of this whole arrangement so far to present prospective candidates, not just on one night, but two. People would say, well, the Democratic Party, it is making use. It's really got its a bounty, a political bounty here. And it is only fair that the party present the candidates to the public, and the party is just doing its job. What do you say?
Well, the deception is continued. It's there, as the previous callers expressed. They're there to keep us in this confused state, so the status quo could continue at its rapid pace without disruption. Here and there, you would find disruptors, such as the two young ladies that came into the Congress, and apparently they aren't. They're there with some fervor, some new energy. I know that you don't agree with their voicing of their opinion, because we need to have them there for consecutive terms, whereby they could really vote in things that will engender change. But I kind of disagree with you there. I think that, you know, they have to say, somebody has to say something. Even if they don't make it to the next term, at least they have said something, and they have awoken some consciousness in some people. So that's my point with that.
My point simply was, have a strategy. Long gone are the days when winning, quote unquote, is enough. It isn't. Lasting is really important. If you have...
But I'm gonna jump in here. But John Conyers stayed there lasting. Rangel stayed in there lasting. And what do we have? We don't have much more than when they started. Yes, we've made some progress. But as Dr. Claude Anderson says,
these candidates, however, had represented themselves as being outside of the system, and that they were coming with a whole new agenda. But it's a matter of strategy, and you have to work at it. It's not something you can't just mouth off. That is not strategy. Anybody could mouth off, but you want to keep these people, the new ones who have promised, the new ones who appear to be, they have a different understanding than the old party people. You want to keep them, and you want them to understand how best to last within a system. And that was my concern. You know, who cares about you running off your mouth? As I said,
maybe that is a strategy. And maybe that is a strategy, because there are some others that we aren't hearing about. For instance, I can't remember her name, the young lady who represents a large majority of her constituency is in Illinois there, and they're farmers, and they're white farmers. So maybe it is a strategy to keep, for these two to mouth off. I don't know, I could be wrong, but... and then this young lady here, who seems to be a more cogent and appreciative personality, steps in and takes the whole game. You know, I don't know, but I'm saying, yeah, sometimes we just have to say what we have to say, you know, and not be afraid. And maybe they are the ones that will propel others in place. They take the hit. Maybe they die off as the martyrs, but there are others behind who can now really steer the ship. So that's just my opinion.
I was expecting you to give us the deep analysis, but you went for the surface. I didn't expect that from you.
Well, I'm a junior student, and I'm here taking lessons, and I can be corrected. I stand corrected there.
What I'm saying is this. What was refreshing about the election, and I was overjoyed, was that they seemed to come from an entirely different ideology. They seemed to be suggesting that they're part, it may not be a massive wave, but it is a significant development within the Democratic Party. So that I was grateful for. But then you find there was one in particular, I'm not going to name her, but people who listening who listen to this program regularly know who I'm talking about. Your mouth is in overdrive, you know, and your brain is in neutral. You can't have that. It means you're not understanding why you got elected or why you're there and what you are supposed to do in as much as you are now there. It's a matter of strategy. How do you behave? I'm not saying that you become a coward or anything like that, but the idea is to win, and winning in that sense is to last or to outlast your planned demise, to outlast it. So you can give them the weapons to use against you like that. And she's in another problem now, having to do with the legality of her marriage and so forth. It gets ridiculous. And you start proving how ordinary you are, that we mistook you in the first place. Yeah. No. We have to have strategy. You want to fight? Great. You have troops? You have money? You have a plan?
Yeah.
No. Well, what's the point? What's the point?
Yeah.
So when this debate is held and we're reading all the reports about how extraordinary it was, what will you be thinking?
I listened to an interview of the gentleman from Seattle, is it, or the state of Washington, and he isn't getting any airplay. So if there's one person that I would choose, I'm trying to answer your question as best I can. If there's one person I would choose, he has lit up some dark corners of my mind. And he has some experience in government, so I don't know what else to say. It's a tough. It's confusing. I agree. I am you know, baffled and trying to really make some sense of it. As I said, you know, think the unthinkable, and the gentleman, both gentlemen before me, voiced that idea of this is a strategy to keep us dislodged from our base.
Did you expect such a confusing scenario to exist with a party that should be under such duress to perform at peak? And it doesn't seem like they're organized. It doesn't seem that like they're even supporting most of the candidates. They've not made a policy decision. It doesn't seem as if they have even conveyed to the candidates what the party's interest is in this election year, issues that they might tackle and so forth. Do you get the feeling that the Democratic Party has pretty much abandoned its role as a kind of tutor in that sense? Because that's the way the party used to function. Everybody has their own particular agenda, but there are certain things that all candidates understand that they should be standard bearers for. But we don't seem to have that in this election coming up.
Well, what comes to mind is that it's a ship that's rudderless without a captain, or without a captain and it's rudderless. So, and they're just chancing it on maybe some prevailing wind to come and usher in some wave that would take them to the head of the office, or to take the presidency. I don't know. It's just, it's a real dog and pony show.
It is, you know, and they want people, they expect people to take this very seriously. They expect people to watch the debates and to appreciate the different points of view of the candidates and so forth. And you wonder, what would make them think that?
Well, I'm glad you said that. Years ago, I think I read where it was both parties came together and said that unless you have a certain percentage of the people, you can't come on this television station. And the media, I should say the general media is part of it, right? So you and I, we could speak as loud as we want. The Green Party, whoever else could try, but they've locked the doors. Both parties have come together to do that. So in essence, again, we go back to what both gentlemen offered up to us earlier. This is a big game by both parties.
Okay. Since it's a big game by both parties, what is your game?
Okay. My game is I have two sons, a 32-year-old and a 25-year-old. And I recently established a corporation with them. And we are going to seek to do business in a black city, predominantly black city in South Florida. And with the intention of influencing the youth as well as the environment, our immediate environment. So that if we walk outside and there's trash on the ground, and we don't encourage the people around us not to throw trash on the ground, then we're going nowhere because I will be soiled by that trash coming into my house. So unless I do it, not just for myself and my immediate bloodline, then those that are around us, I have to try and influence also. So that's where I'm starting. So I go to the city hall meetings and show my face. I'm not speaking yet. I haven't spoken to anybody. I'm just there listening and learning how the game is played politically before I could now, outside of harnessing some type of revenues to engender betterment for myself, but also betterment for my community. And that's how I see it. I can't elaborate or make it any plainer than that, or more plain, I should say.
Well, guess what? You started off talking. We started off talking about a wide subject, and you have brought it home with a narrow focus. And this is what I've been talking about building, rebuilding, reclaiming community. And that's ultimately the victory we want. We want the victory of reclaiming our community. And see, you're a teacher, Gamba.
We're learning from you and others. Thank you.
You're a teacher. Thanks, but your insights have been so keen today. Thank you so much for contributing. Well, you see where we're going, and people would say, well, you're not talking about a debate. No, we're not. We're not talking. We're talking about the conduct of a political entity that, along with the Republicans, enjoys the singular privilege of directing the political discourse in our country. And look what we heard. We heard the words circus. This is a joke. They're not serious. And you know, this, if you were to play this tape for any of the Democratic Party officials, they will be stunned. Because they have spent most of their political lives involved in fooling people, misleading people. There is a group that has the power, and then there's a group like us on the outside, and we are shepherded into the decision-making troughs that they want us to go and occupy and do what they want us to do. But then when you sit and you think and you start asking some questions, you come up with some devastating answers. And we're just skimming the surface. But everybody was dead on. That's the point I try to make all the time. We have all the information we need. We don't need any more, really. Because these are basic decisions. And we go through them ritualistically every 4 years or every 2 years or whatever it is that people are running for. We have the information we need to have to make sound decisions. When are we going to start making sound decisions? That's the ultimate question. When are we going to make sound decisions? I mean, if ordinary people, and I don't mean to use it pejoratively, but I'm talking about people who haven't had the benefit of deep political involvement and studying the political process and all this other stuff. If ordinary people can make sense of the craziness that we are experiencing, imagine what would happen if, with the knowledge that we have, we create new political realities. We don't need to depend on a Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden or anybody else, for that matter. Our job is to communicate to them, we know you. We know you. We know how your system works, and we want no part of it. We're done with it. That is what this message is. And in a short conversation today, completely unanticipated, I'm sure, by the callers. I didn't forecast what we were going to be talking about today. I'm just asking people just where you are, just as you are, what it is you're thinking. And you're thinking the right thing. Your thinking is straight. You are very clear about what is going on, what they have in store for you. Now, the next challenge is, what use do we make of the special talent that we have of spotting what it is they intend for us? Now we have to up the ante on ourselves. We have sophisticated information. We do understand how the system works. We know what people are capable of. Now, how do we fix it? I want to thank you for being such great instructors today. And that's what I consider all the callers. You're great instructors. Because although we're having what would seem to be a casual conversation, look at the brilliance. Look at the brilliance that you have shared with us today and the insight. And it is all clear and it is all correct. Now, if we can do this on any given day, you know, just as happenstance, and we can rattle off all these things that are truly brilliant things, why can't we do this every day and build and rebuild and reclaim and reconstruct our communities. And to this huge political machine that thinks it has won our minds, we laugh at them because they will be the ones stuck with trying to figure out how else they can hoodwink us, what new tricks they have to invent to make us believe the unbelievable. I always like the idea of you understanding how brilliant you are, just naturally brilliant. Good ideas. All you have to do is to sit down for a minute and think about things, and you will come to the right answers. So thank you very much for calling in and for contributing today. We'll meet up again with each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.